Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Really excited. I believe I heard from the Lord on what to share with you this morning. Last week, we talked about being fit when it comes to knowing God's word, believing God's word, knowing who we are in Christ based on God's word. And so this morning, last week we talked about God's word. We have to be fit, spiritually fit. This morning, I want to share with you about prayer. Prayer is life to the church. When Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer," he was talking about his people. Plain and simple, his people. We are his house. We are his inhabitation on the planet. We are his body. He wasn't necessarily talking about the tabernacle of old. That's been destroyed in 70 AD. He's talking about his church, who's alive and on the planet today and who's moving forward. His people shall be called a people of prayer. "For if my people, who are called by my name," says God, "will humble themselves, seek my face, pray to me, I will hear. I will forgive them of their sin, and I will heal" what? "Their land." Listen, church, our land has to get healed. Our land has to repent and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our land needs to see the glory of God move from coast to coast. Our land needs a touch of revival. Our land needs the power and the movement and the authority of the Holy Spirit to move in our government, move in our schools, move in our jobs, move in our families. And that doesn't come by cute programs the church does. That comes by prayer, church. Every revival that has swept across the planet, every single revival has started with prayer. People who humbled themselves and sought the face of God. Prayer. Prayer, 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 prayer. We need to be people of prayer. How do we become fit when it comes to prayer? One of the greatest lessons I've learned in my life when it comes to prayer is knowing who God is, knowing that he hears us when we call, knowing that he responds. Otherwise, I have no business praying. I don't want to pray if I think my prayers are just hitting the roof and falling down. I have to believe that when I pray, when I seek, when I call upon his name, he hears. Last week, we talked about the word of God and how we allow the word of God to shape and mold our thinking. We don't think as the world thinks anymore. We don't look at people the way the world looks at them. We look at them through the lens of scripture. We look at the world through the lens of scripture and how God wants us to see the world. We see ourselves through the lens of scripture and who scripture says we are. And we see God through the lens of scripture, who scripture says he is. And scripture says that when we call, he hears. So because I'm fit in the word, I can come before God being fit in prayer, knowing that he hears me, knowing that he's going to respond, and knowing that I'm going to grow closer to him in prayer. Fit when it comes to prayer, because I'm fit in God's word. So let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. This is one of the scripture verses that I have learned to stand on, to build my faith on when it comes to prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus has just been talking about the whole, our Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. His disciples came to him, hey, teach us how to pray like John the Baptist teaches his followers to pray. And Jesus begins, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on and on and on. He goes on to teaching. That's not the end of his lesson. He goes on to teaching continually about prayer in this. He says, verse 9, "So I tell you, ask, and God will give to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will open for you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive." There you go. Here's a word that I can stand on when I seek God in prayer, when I close myself off in my little prayer closet, or when I'm beseeching God for a promise, for him to move. Here's a promise from his word that I can stand on, that I can build my life upon when it comes to prayer. instead of being too washed to and fro, moved back and forth with doubt. Does God hear me? Yeah, I'm going to believe God hears me. But does he really hear me? Listen, when it comes to his word has the authority to dictate how I feel, how I think, and how I'm going to live and move in God. So when it comes to prayer, yes, everyone, Jesus says, who asks will receive. The one who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door opened. If your children ask for a fish, which of you would give them a snake instead? Or if your children ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more your heavenly Father, who is perfect, how much more your heavenly Father, who is love, how much more your heavenly Father, who has redeemed you and sent his Son to save you, how much more will your heavenly Father, at one time you were his enemy, but because of his Son, we are now friends. How much more will your heavenly Father, at one time I was lost, but now I'm found. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Man, I can stand on that. I can build my prayer life on that. Listen, I'm asking. I'm searching. I'm knocking. A-S-K, ask. Jesus is breaking it down as much as he can break it down. He's making an acronym for us. I have learned when it comes to prayer that your attitude is such a huge determining factor when it comes to seeking God. We know that God does not respond to lip service. Fancy words, right? Otherwise, he would have loved the Pharisees' prayers. God does not respond to fancy lip service. He responds to people who move toward him in faith. He responds to people who call upon his name. He responds to people who are searching after him and who are not going to doubt, does God love me? Does God want me to draw near? Is God actually searching me out? Yes, he is. And so my attitude, what I've learned when it comes to prayer, listen, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to believe it. I know that I know that I know that I know I will find him. And that's for all of us, church. Look, when it comes to prayer, we can't be immature Christians. We have to be mature. We have to know who God is and who we are in him and what the Bible says that we can do. And then seek after God. God responds to people whose hearts are searching and trusting in him. That's what faith is, simply trusting in God. I trust him. I trust that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. I trust that he is who he says he is. And that's what moves the heart of God. Okay? Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. This has been another pillar of my faith when it comes to praying. Look, there was a season in my life where God just began teaching me something about prayer. I've seen prayers answered. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen people get saved because of my prayers. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to make myself look good. But I prayed, Lord, I want to see salvations. I want to see people get born again. And then people in our ministry started getting born again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So here's a pillar. I love this scripture. And you can make this your pillar of faith. This is what the Lord says. Then you will call my name. You will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will search for me, and when you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me, and I will let you find me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what this tells me? This tells me, it assures me that even if I don't know how to seek him in prayer, even if I don't know how to necessarily seek him, yes, I'm saved, I'm found, I have a relationship with God, but yet we're called to go deeper. We're called to know him more. We're called to build our life upon Christ. I might not know how to do that, but this assures me that even though I may not know how to do that, he will make sure I find him. He will make sure. How many of you are dads in here? How many of you guys have played hide and go seek with your kids? Right? Yeah, I've played hide and go seek. When your kids were younger and they're counting, did you go hide in the attic where they can never find you? No, you hid behind something like this. You know, like, hey, You know, of course, your little kid sees you. Of course, he's going to find you. You want your kid to find you so you can kind of quit playing the game and go back to watching football, right? Yeah, I've been there and done that, too. I'm still doing it, brother. My kid's only three. I was playing hide-and-go-seek the other night with him. Prayer is trust in God's character. Prayer is trust in God's character. God has shown me that if we call, he will answer. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And if we believe, we will see his glory on the earth. This is not an obligation for God. This is not just something that he tries to do. This is in accordance to his character. It's who he is. He is a God who desires people to search for him. And when we search for him, he responds. Again, he's not doing it out of obligation. He's doing it out of love. Prayer is an active trust in his character and in his nature and who he is. He's a God who wants to be found. He's a God who wants to reveal the truths concerning the kingdom of God to his people. Right? He's a God who wants to reveal his nature and grow in a relationship with us. So God's character is our confidence in prayer. That should be your confidence when it comes to prayer. And because God's character, his nature, is our confidence when it comes to prayer, we should be people of prayer. We should be people who pray daily. We should be people, according to Scripture, who prays 24/7. I really don't know how to do that. But maybe one day the Lord will bring me to that place. Maybe one day the church, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. Maybe one day the church is going to be a church who moves in prayer, who moves in a lifestyle of prayer. But for now, my confidence is this, that God will allow me to find him when I seek him, whatever it may be. We've already been found by God, but yet we're still searching after him. We're still wanting to know him. Like Paul says, listen, my desire is that I know him and the power of his resurrection, right? That word know that Paul used, listen, this is not in my notes. I feel like the Lord's giving me that word know. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That word know in the Greek is genosko, which means it's a knowledge gained through experience. It's not something your Sunday school teacher can teach you. It's not something you can read in a book. It's not something you're going to learn through a daily devotional. That genosko knowledge is a knowledge that we learn and acquire by an experience, right? You can tell somebody, I remember my little brother. He would always be in the kitchen when my mom was cooking, all the time. And she would yell at him, get out of the kitchen, I'm cooking. How many of you moms can relate to that? Always right there. Well, he always wanted to touch the oven. My mom wasn't trying to be mean. She was like, listen, the oven is hot. It will burn you if you touch it. And I think he's like 4 or 5 or something at this time. Well, you know what? One day, y'all know what happens, right? She's in there cooking, baking bread or doing whatever. And he puts his hand on that oven, and he never touched that oven again. He learned through an experience just how hot that oven is, right? He can teach me how hot that oven is. I never got burned by it. I knew it's hot, but I didn't know it's hot like how he knew it's hot, right? So that's our confidence when it comes to prayer, God's character. We can know God's character. So I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. Numbers chapter 23. It's not on the screen. We're going to fly through this so you don't even have to turn there. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Oh my gosh, thank you. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a human and does not change his mind. What he says he will do, he does. What he promises, he will make come true. So that tells me that God is faithful. He is faithful. Men lie. People disappoint. People say one thing and they mean another. People promise this and then a year later change their mind about it. People contradict people. But God, when he speaks, he means it and he's going to follow through with it. That's my confidence when it comes to prayer. He's faithful. He's faithful to me.
He's faithful to the church. He's not going to leave me wanting. He's not going to leave me disappointed. I can search after him, and I will find him, and he will let me find him. He's faithful. Number two, he is the God who hears. He hears us, and I know this might seem elementary to you, but sometimes we just really need to get that deep into our hearts. Listen, he hears me. He hears me. Psalms chapter 17, verse 16 says this, I call to you, God, and you answer me. Listen to me now and hear what I say. To me, that speaks of boldness, right? Hebrews tells us to come boldly before God, right? Listen to what the psalmist says. I call to you, God, and you answer me. Listen to me and hear what I say. Man, the psalmist is crying out to God, full of boldness, not, Jesus, please, please. But God, my Father, you ransomed me, you saved me, you redeemed me. Listen to what I say. Hearken your ear to my cry. Draw near to me. Listen to the cries of my heart and do what I've asked. That's boldness. You and I can have that boldness when we come before God in prayer. He's faithful. That's my confidence. My confidence also is that, listen, he expects us to be bold. Come boldly before the throne room of God. I can have a boldness. Yes, I have honor and respect because he's God. But my little boy, when he wants something from me, you know what he does? He just comes up and starts whining that he wants it. And he does not stop whining until he gets it. He learned that, you know what? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. You know what? If I nag Dad enough, sooner or later, he's going to give in, right? Half the time, I give in just to get him to be quiet. But either way, he's gotten what he's asked for. That's boldness. He doesn't come to me crawling, begging. He comes running in there, banging his feet all on the floor, you know, scraping crayons on the wall as he's running. Daddy, Daddy, I want to watch TV. Oh, you've just been watching TV for the past hour. There's boldness. He is the God who cares. Again, I know this might seem elementary, but he's the God who cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. That speaks of sensitivity. He is a sensitive father. No matter how foolish it might seem, no matter how foolish it might seem to us to say, can I really ask God of this? Can I really, you know, is God really concerned about this? Do I really need to pray about this? Whatever it may be. Yes, he is concerned. He's sensitive to our cries. He's sensitive to us. Cast all of your cares upon God in prayer because he cares. He's sensitive toward you. Number four. He is the God who loves to respond to his people. Again, these are pillars that I can stand on when I come before God in prayer. Because even I, when I tuck myself away in prayer, there's a battle going on. Man, does God hear me? Yes, he hears me. Last week we learned about the word, right? How many of you have read that scripture verse? We take every thought captive by the power of God's word. And make it subject itself to Christ or something along those lines, right? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I never understood that scripture. I'm like, how do you take a thought captive? Like, Paul, what are you saying? God, I don't want to take a thought captive. And this is what the Lord showed me. If I have a thought that is running around in my mind, running around in my heart, that is contrary to what the Word of God says, I have the power. I have the authority to take that thought and say, no thought, whatever it may be, the word of God says this. So when I seek God in prayer, wondering, you know what, am I really going to find him? Am I really going to receive the answer that I'm looking for? Is he really going to let me find me? Oh, man, I don't know. You know what? Look, thought, look, doubt, I curse you in Jesus' name. The word of God says that if I draw near to him, he draws near to me. If I seek after him with my whole heart, I will find him and he will let me find him. Even if I don't know how to properly search and seek after God in prayer, he's going to make sure I find him. So really, the responsibility is on whose part? God's. He's going to make sure I find him if I search for him. So, that is our confidence when it comes to prayer. When it comes to being spiritually fit, we have to be people of prayer. And that can be our confidence, knowing God's nature, knowing who he is. Secondly, I want to look at this. Prayer should be the lifestyle of the church. Prayer has to be the lifestyle of the church. Remember what I said in the beginning. My house shall be called a house of prayer. We are the house. We are the habitation of God upon the planet. He is in us. We are Christ's body. And Jesus desires that his house shall be called a house of entertainment. Are y'all with me? Amen? There you go. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody's awake. No, I'm just playing, God. My house shall not be called a house of entertainment, but a house of prayer. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We're going to look at two scripture verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 1 Thessalonians. I have them on the board. I'm just going to read them off the screen if that's okay. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul says this, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for God's people. Pray in the Spirit at all times. You can't read it, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul writes, pray continually. Continually. Well, how do we do that? I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to go to the store. I got this. I have these responsibilities that has to get done. How do I pray continually? Pray where you go. Brother Lawrence, have you ever heard of the book called Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence? He was a monk that lived, I don't know, 1500s or something like that. He lived super long ago, all right? Old dude. But he wrote this book, Practicing the Presence of God. And you think he's a monk, right? They have time all day to pray, read the word, or whatever. Well, they had responsibilities as well. They had to keep themselves alive. So what he learned, to sum up his book, he learned how to enjoy God's presence, how to continually be in conversation with God all throughout the day. As he's gardening, he's praying. As he's washing the dishes, he's communing, he's fellowshipping with the Father. And it's a wonderful lesson. The book's about this thick. It's not a big book, but it's an old book. He lived a long time ago, but he learned an important truth when it came to prayer. That prayer is not just being in my prayer closet. And I'm not knocking that. It is. But it's not just being in our prayer closet, you know, on our hands and knees, worshiping. Or look, we have to have that time. Jesus did that. Jesus thought it was important enough to withdraw and to seek the Father. So we have to have times where we withdraw in prayer and seek the Father. But all throughout the day, the scripture says that Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. And Jesus did a lot of things, right? Scripture says that Jesus only said what he heard the Father say. And he said a lot. So that meant all day he's in constant communion with the Father. He's in constant fellowship with the Father. And that is what Paul is trying to teach. Listen, that includes prayer. Yes, prayer is seeking ourselves away in a closet, crying out to God, but prayer is also constant communion with the Father, with the heavenly world, with the Holy Spirit. Constant fellowship. So I want to look at Moses for a second. Throughout both testaments, we see that God longed for a time when all of his people would enter in continual communion with him. Okay? Since the beginning, God desired that we should be a people who can hear from God ourselves and respond. And that we should also be a people who would open up our hearts and call out to him. Numbers chapter 11. I'm actually going to read it. Numbers chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. If not, it's on the screen. Can we get that on the screen, please? Numbers chapter 11, verses 25 through 29. Go back a slide. To give you a little bit of a background history, Moses has led the Israelites out into the desert. He's complaining, God, this is too much. I can't take this anymore, okay? And God says, listen, this is what I'll do. I'll take some of the spirit that is on you and give to 72 elders, and they will help you carry the burden of the people, right? Are we familiar with that story? If not, go back and read it. But that's just a little background. So, then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. The Lord took some of the spirit Moses had and gave it to the 70 elder leaders. With the spirit in them, they prophesied. Where are you going with this, Mike? With the spirit in them, they prophesied, but just that one time. Two men named Eldad and Medad were also listed as leaders, but they did not go to the tent. Ooh, they were a bit rebellious. They did not go to the tent. However, they stayed in the camp, but the spirit was also given to them, and they prophesied, but that just one time. A young man ran to Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Next slide. Joshua, son of Nun, said, Moses, my master, stop them. Ever since he was a young boy, Joshua has been Moses' assistant. Let's pause right there. So the Holy Spirit came upon 70 leaders of Israel, and they began prophesying. Joshua, Moses' assistant, became jealous. Joshua's jealousy tells me something about this. Moses was the man of God. Moses was the one who would receive from God and give to God. Moses was the one who was in communion with the Father. Moses was the one who communicated with God on behalf of the people. Moses was the one who trekked up the mountain every few days and visited with God, fellowshipped with God, received impartation, received revelation. I mean, he wrote almost, you know, he wrote the Pentateuch, right? Moses was the man of God who was in communion with God, who was in communication with God, who was in fellowship with God, who prayed continually, if I can add. And now Joshua, Moses' assistant, became jealous because, oh no, hold up. Now Moses is not so important. Other people can hear from God themselves. Other people can prophesy. And what is prophesying? What is that? That's hearing from the Lord and speaking what you hear. That's receiving communication from the Father. That's being in fellowship. Man, we're receiving what God has to say. We're receiving instruction if it has to be that. We're receiving direction if it has to be that. God's speaking to his people through who? The Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit's on the leaders. However, they prophesied just that one time though. But Joshua became a bit jealous. Oh no. My master is not the esteemed prophet anymore. My master, he's not going to be regarded as the one who can hear from God. Now all these other people can hear from God. But Moses answered, are you jealous for me? I wish all the Lord's people could prophesy. I wish the Lord would give his spirit to all of them. There's something about this verse that tells me Moses' heart was in sync with God's heart. God has always desired. God has longed for his spirit to be poured out upon his people that we can enter into fellowship with him. Are y'all with me? God has always longed that and desired that from the beginning. To be in fellowship with his people, to know his creation, to be in communication. But we see in the Old Testament that only happened with certain individuals, with the prophets of old, with the kings, right? But now, here we see Moses touching God's heart. And his heart has become in sync with God's heart. Now his desire is that all people would enter into constant communication and fellowship with the Father. Because that was in God's heart all along. And that is what prayer does in us. Prayer, it links and syncs our hearts to God. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes people, and people change things. Because my heart has been changed. My heart no longer desires the things that I wanted, but my heart can long for the things that God desires. And that comes with spending time in his presence, that comes with prayer, that comes with being in communion with him. I'm being changed when it comes to prayer. You're being changed. So Moses, God desired that all of his people would enter into a prophetic place with God where divine communication was the norm. Moses was the great prophet who would speak to God and God would speak to him. Here we see Moses' heart in sync with God's heart. God's desire has become Moses' desire. This is what happens when we spend time in the presence and fellowship with God. I wish all of God's people could prophesy. That sounds like a New Testament scripture to me. Paul writes, you may all prophesy one after the other. In fact, even a greater scripture verse is this, Acts chapter 2. And I've taught on this a couple of times here, and I haven't been here at Destiny for very long. For some reason, I just keep feeling like the Lord is bringing me back to this scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. At that time, I will pour out my spirit also on my male slaves and female slaves, and they too shall prophesy. And again, I've preached this part. I've taught on this scripture before, so forgive me if it's a bit redundant. But I really feel like the Lord is drawing me back to this. This is all communication. God wants to communicate to his church through prophecy. God wants to communicate to his church through visions. God wants to communicate to his church through dreams. Now, we know that this was at Pentecost, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost was poured. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and the people in the upper room, they all got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prophesying. So you see Moses' heart synced with God's heart. And Moses' desire is God's desire, that all of God's people could enter into a place where divine communication is the norm. It's not just for the prophets. It's not just for the kings. It wasn't just for the judges or the elders. God wanted all of his people to enter into communication. And we see that being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. You and I have an open heaven before us. I've actually heard somebody say, you have as much of God as you want. What's holding you back? The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from every sin. We have fellowship with the Father. Jesus isn't holding us back. The Holy Spirit isn't holding us back. The Father certainly isn't holding us back. Who do you think is holding us back? The devil can't touch you. You're in Christ. He can tempt you. He can try to bring havoc against you, but what he plans for evil, God can turn around for good. So there's really no excuse. I have all of God that I want. I can go as deep with God as I want. I can search him out in prayer as deep as I want. We have to be people who are fit when it comes to prayer. Are you guys okay? I don't feel like I'm beating you guys down or anything. Am I encouraging you? Okay. So Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, Moses' desire became a reality for believers in Christ, you and I. I want to look at one more scripture, or one more little point. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Enoch. We don't know much about Enoch. All I do know about Enoch is the guy walked with God for 365 years. Forgive me. However, Enoch is a picture of the New Testament church. Enoch is a picture and a type or a symbol of the New Testament church. And here's why. When Enoch was 65 years old, he had a son named Methuselah. After Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God. How many know your kids will drive you to God? Oh my gosh, if I ever walked with Jesus, it's now. And I only got one kid. How many of you got more than one kid? Oh, hallelujah. God bless you in Jesus' name. So Enoch had his kid named Methuselah. Methuselah drove Enoch to the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm just playing. After Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God 300 years more and had other sons and daughters. So Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Oh, forgive me, maybe just 300 years. He walked with God. Enoch walked with God one day. Enoch could not be found because God took him. What happened to Enoch? He was raptured. Oh, what's going to happen to the church one glorious day? Jesus is coming back. And one day the church is going to be moving and operating and doing what it's always done, witnessing to the lost, praying for the lost, praying for God's hand upon the earth to move while they're interacting with their employees, while they're just going about their daily business. The church will have its feet on the planet, taking care of the daily responsibilities, yet be people full of prayer. And one day, one glorious day, they will not be found. Because the church will be with Jesus. Enoch is a picture of a raptured church. Now listen, I have heard two types of teaching when it comes to the rapture. I have heard that the church can bring about the rapture. And I don't know, let me just preface this. I don't know, I do believe the rapture is coming. Jesus is coming. But what's going to cause the rapture to happen? I've heard some teaching that suggests it's when the church starts walking and being the church, and being the people that God has called it to be, and laying aside all of its differences and just saying, hey, you're called by the blood, you're in Christ. Well, guess what? I've been saved by the blood. I'm in Christ. Let's move out in unity, doing what we know the Lord has called the church to do, for the church is going to be out without spot or blemish. But then I've also heard that the church has nothing to do with the rapture. It's all God's sovereignty. It's just his plan. It's all on him, and he's just going to come back. However, when he does come back, the church will be without spot or blemish, right? So I don't know what's going to cause the rapture. Can I just say that? I don't know what's going to cause it. I do believe it's going to happen. Are you guys with me on that? However, this little bitty scripture about Enoch kind of gives us a clue what type of people we need to be when the rapture comes. For the word to walk in the Hebrew is halah, halah, and it means to walk in habitual fellowship with God. That's what the church is. We have an opportunity, the church, to walk in habitual fellowship or prayer. Pray continually. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Be people of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. God desires to commune with his people. God desires communication from him and from us to him. God desires that. So this word halah, it suggests two people living and walking in a hand-in-hand relationship. Constant communication, habitual fellowship. David Wilkerson, I found a quote from him. I really like it. He writes, he says, Enoch walked with God and he was not. Do I have the quote up there? Yes, David Wilkerson. We all know him, right? And he was not, for God took him. The original Hebrew meaning for walked implies that Enoch went to and fro with God, continually conversing with him and growing closer to him. In him, we see a new kind of believer. He walked arm in arm every day with the Lord. The Lord was his very life, so much so that at the end of his life, he did not taste death. Let me tell you something. There is a generation of the church that will not taste death. Maybe we're that generation. Maybe it's my son's generation, or maybe my grandson's generation. But one day, the church in its generation will not have to see death, will not suffer the pain of death, for God will take them. I pray we're that generation, because I want to see, man, I want to be a part of that, to be able to look at death and be like, now what? Where's your victory? If you haven't known, I mean, I guess maybe you've picked this up, you know, before I got saved, I kind of like to fight a lot. Well, now that I'm saved, I kind of put away that foolishness, but the Bible says when it comes to the enemy, we can fight. So I like picking with the enemy. I do. I like picking on him. I like knocking his block off. So death, where's your victory? Come on, death, where's your sting, man? Come on, let's go. Where you at? Can I have fun with you guys? Maybe we're that generation. Maybe not. Hallelujah. But either way, Enoch was translated out of life, and he's forever with God. This is the type of people that he's called us to be, people who are in prayer, people of prayer, people who are fit when it comes to God's word, people who are fit when it comes to prayer.
What do we look at time? Good.
Very, very quickly, I just want to share some practical stuff with you. That's good, deep spiritual stuff, amen? But how about just some practical stuff? And this is what I've learned. This is what I do in prayer. Not that I'm like some model to follow or something like that. Jesus is the ultimate model. But this is what I've learned when it comes to prayer, and this is what I practice in prayer. One, get alone with God. Get alone with God. Often we read that Jesus would leave the crowd and the disciples to pray and hear from the Father. Jesus would often wake up early while it was still dark to be with God so that he would not be distracted. That's the whole point. To get alone with God and not get distracted. Far too often we are too distracted. We do not know how to go through a single day without having our phone. Oh God, help us please. Right? So, turn your phone off. I mean, this is real practical stuff. This is not super spiritual deep. Turn your phone off. Unplug your TV. Get away from people. This does not mean you have to go off into the woods or find a desert to pray in. Just find a room in the house where you can be with God. Or find a time during the day that you know you will not be interrupted by a family member or friends. Personally, I found that 5 a.m., and that's a struggle for me sometimes, but 5 a.m. is perfect for that. My kid is still asleep. No one is calling me at 5 a.m. No one better not call me at 5 a.m. I don't really want to talk to anybody at 5 a.m. Facebook isn't popping yet, you know? The news, that's about the only thing that's on TV or an infomercial. And I can tell you what the news is going to tell you. Negative this, negative that, negative this, negative that. So great, you got your news info for the day. Find a time to get alone with God. Number two. This might seem a little silly. Walk around. I can't tell you. I'm going to be real with you. I can't tell you how many times I woke up at 5 a.m. with a desire to seek God. And I start to pray. I get my Bible and I'm praying and I sit down to pray. And the next thing you know, bam. Right? I mean, am I the only one? No, okay. Listen, I'm human. If I wake up at 5 a.m. to pray and sit down, I will fall back asleep. So I've learned just to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Walk around and pace room. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You're worthy. I bless your name this morning. I awaken the dawn with my praise. Hallelujah. And I'll just pace because I'm not going to fall back. I'm not going to go to sleep pacing. Number three, play music. Play music. And I'm not trying to play on your emotions. But simply music, God loves it. God loves music. Psalms chapter 95, verses 1 through 2 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." And there's sometimes I'll just find a YouTube channel with some Bethel worship on it and just click it and then just start to praying, start to praising. Next thing I know, an hour has passed, and I'm still praying and praising God because his presence fills the room. And that's really what it's about. Psalms 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." The scriptures are exhaustive when it comes to the topic of worship, praise, singing, thanksgiving, and making a joyful noise while coming into the presence of God. Scripture even states that God will inhabit the praises of his people. So when we desire to come before the Lord, let's come before him singing and praising him because he simply likes it when we do. Amen. Stand with me, please. Fit when it comes to prayer. You might not know how to seek God in prayer. That is perfectly okay because God will make sure you find him. Hey, Adam. There's a song that you played at the beginning. It's called something like All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen or something like that. Or maybe Demetria, that was you. All your promises are yes and amen. I love that song. That's a good song to stand on when praying. All your promises are yes and amen. It's never no. When it comes to his promises. Now, there's things that I've prayed for that God answered, but the answer was no. And looking back hindsight, I'm glad the answer was no. Amen. You guys know what I'm talking about? So what's the point of preaching the silly sermon if we don't pray? So I want to take a brief, I want to just take some time. How do we look on time? What? Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying. Let's pray. What I want to do is open this altar for you just to come. If you're married, I want you to come with your spouse. Put your arm around your spouse and come before God's presence together. If you're single, we love you. We want you to come forward too. And just, man, seek God. What's in your heart? What is it that you want to know God about? What is it that you want to seek God for? Maybe there's a thing that you need. Fine. Remember, he's sensitive. Maybe it's your desire to know God greater than you could have ever known him before. You think God is going to turn that request down? God, show your face. Let your glory fall and let me be a man who is known for your glory. Come and seek God. Father, make me the person that you've called me to be. Because I know, Father, in the name of Jesus, you do not change your mind about the people you've called or the things that you've given them. God's promises and his destiny for you are still yes and amen. There's still yes and amen. Hallelujah. If we can turn that up a little bit more. If you want to worship the Lord, we're just going to take this song. Just the length of this song. I'm hoping it's like a short version, not like a 20-minute version. Hallelujah. And I just want you to begin opening up your heart to God. Cry out to him. Draw near to him, because God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. He's the God who responds. Oh, hallelujah.